The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Well, welcome in to the Brad Sessmatt Show here on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. This is not the big fella. This is the old fella. Mark Asher, glad to be filling in for Brad today. I appreciate the phone call I received last week and an opportunity to come here. Now, E, what camera am I on here? My good friend Eric Sorensen, fine producer of the Brad Sessmatt
Show. Straight ahead.
Oh, that one?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Oh, hi. I can see you in the corner.
What's up, Ash?
Nice. Yeah.
It's great seeing you. Yeah,
thanks.
I will be appearing randomly up in the over your left shoulder. So
I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you kind of creeping on my shoulder.
You look
like
good,
it.
As always.
Well, thank you. It's it's a work day. It's a Monday, so you know, I'm wearing the uniform.
It's a school day for you.
It is a school day. So, but I'm excited to be here. I'm very excited that you didn't ask me to come in like the middle of July when there's nothing going on in sports. I kind of figured that's when I would get the phone call. Hey, the day after the All-Star game in baseball. But that didn't happen.
The dead zone of sports.
Oh, my gosh. That's like the worst day ever to be a sports talk show host. But no, I'm excited to be here. We got a lot to talk about in the next hour. We're going to go over a plethora of topics. I'm going to get an opportunity because I don't get to do this all the time. And I'm going to tell you what I think about what's been happening in sports and what's going on in general, because Arizona, Phoenix, is kind of in the mix of a lot of things. And so we'll touch on that. Obviously, one of the first things we're going to talk about is the NBA Finals. Came to a conclusion painfully for those in Cleveland and for LeBron James on Friday night. Obviously, we saw the fight in the Cleveland Cavaliers in game one. And that was a valiant effort. They were up, looked like they had a chance. J.R. Smith didn't know much, you know, who was winning, how much time was left, timeouts, blah, blah, blah. We had the blowout, we should say. We come to find out that after said blow up, the blow up occurred even more when LeBron James so wisely decided to punch a whiteboard. Or blackboard or black chalkboard, whatever it was, and might have broke his hand or injured it. So the fact that he played the next three games and was still able to be somewhat successful was pretty impressive. However, it's so stupid. You're the leader of the team. I lost a tiny bit of respect for LeBron in this series. I still have tons of respect for LeBron. But I felt like, and I kind of feel like as LeBron's getting older and older, he's getting more like salty in his old age. And like, complaining that he's by himself and he's got no help. Yeah, we see it, dude. We know you have no help. But that's the bed you made. Now you gotta lie in it. And you decided to give Tristan Thompson, you know, all that money. And you decided to make sure we had J.R. Smith on our team and, oh yeah, by the way, pay him all that money. And then you forgot that those guys aren't really that good and not worth the amount of money that they are paid. But that's neither here nor there. The time I lost a little bit of respect with LeBron was after J.R. Smith royally screwed up. I mean, one of the biggest gaffes I can remember in a long time. Right up there with the Chris Webber timeout back in the 90s for Michigan. That occurred. J.R. Smith, you're frustrated. I get it. I think everyone now has seen the video of the next 2 minutes on the bench. And LeBron doesn't say one word to any of his teammates. Game's not over, dude. You're going to overtime. If I would have been able to watch that and then turned around and called Vinny Joe bookie, right, I would have placed everything I own on the Golden State Warriors in overtime. For that simple fact that LeBron didn't go, hey, JR, it's cool, man. We got an overtime. We're still in this, fellas. No one gave a chance to even be here. We're not supposed to be here. We're in game one on the road in Golden State. Let's go win it. No, instead, he sulked on the bench for two and a half minutes, asked one question to Ty Lue, do we have any timeouts, then acted like someone just kidnapped his newborn, like put his hand in his head. Like I was like, come on, LeBron, you're better than that.
But I bet, Mark, not to interrupt you, I bet he knew that
it was over.
Not only was it over, but that was really the Cavs' only chance in the whole series was game one, because the other three games really weren't that competitive.
No, they were boring.
And if you have a chance, like in that game, the Cavs almost played a perfect game. And not only did they play almost a perfect game, but the Warriors were just bad enough to almost lose that game. And these teams were so, it was a sweep, obviously. These teams were so mismatched that you needed all the stars to align for the Cavs to win at least one of those games on the road. I think they were like an 11.5-point underdog, which is ridiculous when you're talking about an NBA Finals. The spread should never, ever be double digits.
Michael Jordan was never a bigger underdog than 4.5
That's
points.
That's crazy. I knew you would have a great number.
There's
like
your
that.
Random stat of the day. Michael Jordan was never a bigger underdog in any one. I think it was. I don't know if it was playoff game. It was definitely NBA Finals. I don't want to say playoff game. I think it was just NBA Finals. Was never more than a 4.5-point dog.
I wonder if the Suns were one of those games, because the Bulls were an underdog to the Suns.
Yeah.
Underdog to the Suns in 93.
I think it was one of those games. Was maybe his biggest.
Anyway,
deficit.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I digress.
No,
honestly, like after game one, everyone knew what was going to happen in game two, and then it was like, well, is this series going to end in four or in five? And it ended in four.
Right. So. All right, we continue on here on the Brad Sesmat Show. The top stories today brought to you by SagaCore. Now, protect what matters most. Let's see. The Suns have the number one overall pick still. Last time I checked, they haven't traded it, right? Ryan McDonough. Don't trade it. Please. Pick Ayton. I wish Ryan McDonough would have the, you know what, the cojones that DeAndre Ayton did. DeAndre Ayton said, hey, I'm working out for the Phoenix Suns, and I'm done. Pick me. I'm the number one player in this draft. Just pick. You got all these other dudes working out for every team, Sacramento, Atlanta, Memphis, Dallas, all these teams have all these picks. And I get it. You kind of have to. DeAndre Ayton doesn't have to, because guess what? If the Suns screw this draft up and don't take the kid from U of A, he will go second to Sacramento, whether they ever saw him once in person or not. So he's solidified top two, unless something catastrophic happens in the next week and a half to DeAndre Ayton. If he stays intact and is healthy, he's going number one or two. He should go number one. Suns, and McDonough, I know he's saying all the right things. I wish McDonough would just come out and be like, Ayton's gone, boys. Do your homework. Go look at Mamba. Go look at all these other guys. Doncic, what's his name? Doncic? Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic.
Who, by the way, did not pull out of the draft. Some thought he might after the EuroLeague MVP season he had, and the fact that he doesn't really want to go to Sacramento and some of these other teams, but he's not pulling out. He had the deadline, I think it was yesterday or today or something like that. He's staying in the draft, so he will go. So we'll talk about the Suns' number one pick options, trade assets. Do you move up to maybe add another top 10 pick? D-backs, got to talk a little Diamondback baseball. All of a sudden, who woke this team up? I mean, now all of a sudden they can hit. Paul Goldschmidt's on fire, thank goodness, because it's been a brutal season for Goldie, and it's been hard to watch. But D-backs sweep the Colorado Rockies in impressive fashion, offensively getting it done. I know you're in Colorado, but you still got to hit the ball. And then they got some pretty decent pitching. I was happy to see the outing yesterday from Godley. Not that he went super deep or anything like that, but he had struggled in two of the last three outings for the Diamondbacks, and the fact that he was able to kind of put it together and pitch pretty well. I thought that was a good sign. And again, there's talk of them getting even more healthy. Robbie Ray hopefully comes back at some point. I know everyone keeps talking about Shelby Miller coming back. Who cares? Shelby Miller's a waste. He's not a top five pitcher. He will not be in the starting rotation. He shouldn't be in the starting rotation. I shouldn't say he won't be, but he shouldn't be. Best case scenario for Shelby Miller is long relief kind of guy. Maybe a spot start here or there instead of having a call up a Matt Cook or someone like that from AAA or AA. But don't rely on Shelby Miller. Anyway, we'll talk more about that later in the program. We will talk about LeBron James free agency. That's going to be a big topic today. And I want to talk a little bit about the Triple Crown. Justified takes home the title with his fullback intact. That was pretty cool. I've never seen that in horse racing. Hey, I got a fullback who's going to block for me as I run to the end zone. It was pretty sweet. All the fullbacks in the world, you should be proud. A horse just did your job. But there's a lot of talk. You know, second Triple Crown winner now in the last 3 years, as American Pharoah did it back in 2015. I was excited. I made sure whatever I was doing on Saturday, that was going to be home around 3:30 so I could watch the Belmont, because I wanted to see if a horse could again get the Triple Crown. We waited 30-some-odd years to see this happen. What was it, 77, 78, the last time it happened? And then we went on all this drought, and we were close a few times. A few horses won the first two legs and then lost in the long Belmont. So I thought it was great to see. You know, some people, all the complaining. Dude, it's history. There's only been 13 Triple Crowns in the history of horse racing. and I've seen two in the last 3 years. I like it. Whether I see another one down the road, who knows? But I've seen two in the last 3 years. And by the way, we're going to put Justify up against Secretariat in a fake Belmont Stakes race. We'll tell you how each horse would have fared. So there you go. That's kind of the top stories today. Again, brought to you by SagaCore Now. Protect what matters most. We are going to continue on here on the Brad Sesmat Show. I am Mark Asher, filling in for the big guy just one day. I believe Brad will be back tomorrow. Right here on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. All right, we continue here on the Brad Sesmat Show. I've been informed two things. One, Brad is gone all week. I was only asked to fill in one day. No offense there. And the other thing, I butchered the name of our sponsor. I apologize. SagaCore. SagaCore Now. Protect what matters most. Did I get that right? Did I get the tagline right? Or is it protect what matters now?
No, you got
it. Protect what matters most.
You got it.
SagaCore Now.
Nice job.
Now I got that taken care of. So Brad's gone all week. We got the one and only Jeff Munn, who has a beautiful voice and a face for radio, just like me. But this is televised. This is video right here on Sports 360 AZ and azcentralsports.com. All right, so we got a lot to talk about. I'm going to kind of break it down into a few different things. I want to talk NBA. I don't necessarily want to talk about the NBA finals per se. Like, it was great. Golden State won. It's a dynasty. Good for Steve Kerr. I love Steve Kerr. Great individual. Great human being. I'm happy for him. It's crazy the path he has taken to get where he's at. I mean, you go from broadcaster. Well, you go from player, winning a bunch of titles on a bunch of teams. Then you go to broadcaster, right? Then you go to GM of the Phoenix Suns. And then you end up as a head coach for not the Knicks, the Golden State Warriors. Good choice there, Kerr. And now you've built this mega team, a dynasty. And I do want to say one thing. A lot of people have complained a lot about the way this Golden State team has been put together. But I want to remind people, this team was built from within for the most part. Steph Curry, 7th overall pick. Klay Thompson, I believe, top 15 pick. I forget exactly where Klay was drafted. And Draymond Green, a second-round pick, which ended up being a steal. Then you added Kevin Durant, okay? This team might have won without Kevin Durant, even though he was the NBA Finals MVP. That's how good they are. Now, adding Durant obviously added a wrinkle, and I can see where people would have a problem with Durant joining a team he couldn't beat. But I don't have a problem with it, to be quite honest. All these other teams are getting all these players. This is the new state of the NBA. So congrats to the Warriors, 3 out of 4. This team easily could win 6 out of 8 titles because they're all young. The question I have is how long can you keep it together financially? Because you got some guys who are going to be coming up for deals. I think Klay's up for a deal this offseason. Draymond is or is coming up soon. Curry and Durant. Well, actually, Draymond's covered. Durant's a free agent, but Durant's re-signing with Golden State. That's a no-brainer. So one guy could be out at some point down the road. But for now, I like watching it. It's a fun team to watch. And they're the best. And you got to beat the best to be called a champion. So good luck, everyone else, as you try to build your roster. And that's what takes us to the LeBron James sweepstakes. Where is LeBron going to play next year? I can rule out a handful of teams. Most teams in the NBA. I can rule them out. He's not going to Atlanta. He's not going to Sacramento, right? He's not going to any of those teams. And he's also not going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. He is done. He has paid his time back to Cleveland. He brought them. He went to 4 NBA finals, and he brought them an NBA title. He did his duty, and the fans of Cleveland should appreciate that, respect LeBron. And this time when he leaves, don't burn his jersey and be stupid. Like, hey, thank you, LeBron. We love you. He's going in the Hall of Fame as a Cav. End of story. It's time now to go do other things. So what are those other things? LeBron is what, 33, 34?
Something around there.
Right around
that
area.
Let me look it up real quick.
I want to say he's 33, about to be 34 or something like that. So I feel LeBron's still got 3 to 4 good years left in him. Like, when I say good years, he could play till he's probably 42.
He's 33.
33.
And he's a young 33. He doesn't turn 34 until late December.
I'll disagree with you.
Well, yes.
He's an old 33.
I know what you're saying.
When it comes to wear and tear.
He has a lot of miles on
those
tires.
He's got a lot of miles on those tires, yeah. Yeah, you could say, oh, what year is that car? 2017. Oh, it's only a year old. Yeah, but I've driven 90,000 miles in a year. Like,
he is so durable, though, Mark.
He is.
Oh, my gosh.
He is. And, you know, we'll see where he chooses to go. So that brings me to our conversation. There was a report last week, and we're not putting up the picture of the guy because I don't remember who said it. I put so little credence into it, that's why I don't remember who said it. But it was being talked about how one NBA insider writer said, hey, I've been told by sources, don't count out Phoenix as a destination spot for LeBron James. I'm a Phoenix Suns fan. I was born and raised in Arizona and lived in Arizona my whole life. I took a four-year hiatus to live in Flagstaff, Arizona. Other than that, I've always been in the Valley. I'm not buying it. I'm not getting excited about it. And quite frankly, I'm not talking about it. Because Suns fans, all it's going to do is be painful. Because LeBron James is not signing with the Phoenix Suns. It makes zero sense for LeBron James. And I know it's going to be, oh, hold on, Ash. Hold on. Time out. You got Ayton. You got Booker. Young nucleus. He's not signing with the Phoenix Suns. I believe that I think the list is down to three. I really believe that LeBron James will sign with one of three teams. And I will put them in the order of which I think it will happen. I don't understand this one as much from a basketball standpoint, but from LeBron is building for the future and planning his exit strategy, I think the Los Angeles Lakers are the favorite to get the services of LeBron James. Now, I know I'm not breaking any news here because this has been talked about forever. In fact, there's three or four sources have said this is a done deal. Him and his people, Maverick Carter and all these different, they're all going to L.A. And this is going to be about setting up the future, entertainment, movies, music, production, whatever LeBron has planned. LeBron James is not going to stop at making X amount of dollars in the NBA as a spokesperson for Sprite and Kia and all these other companies that he's endorsed, but also from the monetary, money that he's made basically playing basketball. He's been paid handsomely over the years. So I'm not just talking about that. This guy wants to be a billionaire, right? And he wants to do it like Magic Johnson, like Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, think how much money Shaquille O'Neal does not need to go work on TNT. Trust me. Barkley might. Shaq doesn't, okay? So Shaq does it because he just stays in the spotlight. And then he tells you about the General and about this cream and that cream and Buick and all these different cars. That Shaq makes so much money. He's turned in his business is on top. How about A-Rod? Anyone check out what Alex Rodriguez is doing in the business world? It's unreal, the work ethic that Alex Rodriguez has. Alex Rodriguez does not need to be on any baseball show. He doesn't need to be on a post-game show. He doesn't need to do playoffs, World Series. He doesn't need to do any of that. Plus, he's marrying J-Lo or living with her or whatever. My point is, these athletes want to take it to the next level. And that's why I think LeBron's going to end up in L.A. From a basketball standpoint, does it make a lot of sense? Not really. I mean, you got Lonzo Ball, who's not really that good. Kuzmov's good. They've got a couple players there. And he probably brings a buddy or two. Who that is, I don't know. Chris Paul, Paul George.
Yep.
Someone named Paul. We'll probably join him in L.A.
Not Paul Pierce, but Paul Pierce
Not
is
Paul
probably
Pierce.
Living in L.A.
So I'm going to look this up.
Since he's on ESPN out there.
Yeah, maybe. LeBron James, this is from a betting website that was on – it was listed on Forbes. This is one of the betting websites out there. LeBron James, you can bet on what team he'll be on next year. So I'm looking this up on my phone. Los Angeles Lakers plus 200, which means bet 100, win 200 if that were to happen. And then this is interesting to me. The next team on the list – which I believe a lot of people think could be a possibility, and that is the Philadelphia 76ers.
It would make sense.
It would.
It would make sense.
And let me play a little fuel on the fire, right? Let me bring the gas can, dump it on there. The Sixers just fired Brian Colangelo, right?
Yes, they
or
did.
Whatever.
He resigned, but he got fired, let's be honest.
They parted ways. They're going to have to go get a new GM. Have they named that person yet? No.
I don't believe so.
There's a guy that was the GM for the Cavs for a while.
Yep.
That LeBron actually loved.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, I love him too.
Who doesn't?
David Griffin, former Phoenix Sun employee, a guy that worked his way from a media relations guy to a general manager in the NBA. It's an awesome story. Griff turned down the Knicks. I think there's been other jobs that have been talked to. He's been hanging out and just waiting. If Philly calls and says, hey, Griff, you want the job? And LeBron says, Griff, I love you, buddy. I'm coming. Then Philly makes sense. They're second on this list at plus 350. Now, from a basketball standpoint, you got a young team. You got Embiid. You got Fultz, right? You've got Ben Simmons.
And you have Ben Simmons, and that brings up what some people will argue, the fact that that's the reason why LeBron wouldn't go to Philly.
They play the same. They both have to kind of big guys with the ball in their hand.
Ben Simmons has to have the ball in his hands.
Right.
And he's pretty much useless without the ball in his hands. He can't play off the ball, so...
Yeah, he can't shoot.
He can't shoot, but he's great with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
So,
and maybe, because, I mean, LeBron had his best years with Kyrie next to him, right?
True.
Or with Dwayne Wade next to him.
But I think Philly has enough pieces where he could get that team to the NBA Finals. Because it's much easier, I think, to get
well,
to
in the East.
In the East. The Celtics are going to be unreal next year, don't get me wrong. But LeBron has a way of lifting average to good teammates to usually play great and somehow get back to the NBA Finals.
They would be...
I mean, he did it with like a G League team this year.
Yeah.
So.
He would get to the NBA Finals multiple times with the Sixers. Maybe win one. I don't know. So from a basketball standpoint, and if you want to keep going in the NBA Finals, Philly makes a lot of sense. The third team on this list, I'm not even going to talk about, or the fourth team, they've got the Miami Heat at plus 500. You're not going back to the Miami Heat. Why would you do that? And then they've got the New York Knicks at plus 750. He's not going to New York. Big city, I get it, but he's not going to New York. It's a hot mess in New York. Then the next team on this list is what I think is the third team in the equation, and that would be the Houston Rockets. Again, I'm not sure how that works with James Harden and LeBron James, both kind of – neither one's a point guard, but both kind of have the ball in their hands a lot. But – and they have a point guard in Chris Paul. So I'm not sure how that dynamic works on the court, but it could be interesting because the Houston Rockets were this close to taking out the Golden State Warriors in seven games. That is a possibility. So in my estimation, number one, Los Angeles, just because I think he wants to be in L.A. I just got this. LeBron James to produce HBO documentary on something. Hold on. The story will come up in a second. So this is why he wants to go to L.A. This right here, LeBron James to executive produce a documentary on the exploitation of student athletes. Anyone see what Kobe Bryant's doing, by the way?
Yep.
What did Kobe just win?
That's a great point. And LeBron already has the mansion in L.A.,
right.
So he's got that taken
care of. Did Kobe win a title?
A few.
No, this last year.
Oh, no.
No. Oh, he won an Oscar, though. And Kobe Bryant put the Oscar ahead of his five NBA titles.
Oh!
This is what I'm telling you. This is the future
life
of
after
these guys.
Basketball.
So LeBron James... This is why I think it's a slam dunk he's going to L.A. That's, has nothing to do with basketball.
It's bad news for the Suns.
It is bad news, but you get to see him more often.
I guess it's not like the Suns are going to be going to the NBA title.
No, our whole Suns watching experience, we've seen LeBron once a year for 13 years. Now you're going to see him a bunch for 3 or 4 years. So,
even if he lands in Houston, same deal.
Right. So, again, I got Lakers number one, heavy favorite in my opinion. I would put the Lakers as a minus 150. Then I've got the Sixers at probably plus 200, and I got the Rockets at plus 500. If I'm setting the lines out there, I'm not. All right, we continue here on the Brad Sesmad Show. I'm Mark Asher. If you didn't know, I might look a little different, a little whiter. What do you think? I dyed my beard white.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
You're just old.
Yeah, I'm just getting old, buddy. It's unfortunate,
but
it happens. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about NBA. We're going to talk about the Phoenix Suns and what they have as far as assets and what they need to do with those assets moving forward. So that's coming up. This is the Brad Sesmad Show on Sports 360 AZ and, of course, azcentralsports.com. All right, we continue here on a Monday edition of the Brad Sesmad Show. I'm Mark Asher, your co-host today, or your host, I guess. I'm really a co-host. Fill-in host of the Brad Sesmad Show on Sports 360 AZ and azcentralsports.com.
It's nice to see you, by the way.
Nice to see you, Ian.
Thank you.
Always
Thanks.
A pleasure.
You and I have a history.
We go way back.
We do.
And that's
God,
a good
Mark.
Thing.
Of course.
It's a good thing. We need a solid, like, Pat's Pizza Run or something. Is that still around?
Yeah, I think it is.
That was Ian and I used to.
Oh yeah, that was another life for both of us. But
yeah, speaking of life, life's about to get real interesting for Ryan McDonough and the Phoenix Suns. For the first time in their franchise's 50-year history, somehow the lottery balls bounced our way. I say "our" because I'm a diehard Suns fan.
And I want to get your take on something before you continue.
Yes.
Okay, this irritates the person who usually sits in that chair as well as myself.
Who, by the way, when Brad sits in this chair, the chair I'm sitting in was like 9 inches lower. Well, my face came to right. I was been like this doing the show.
Yeah, you would barely had your forehead over the microphone.
Anyway.
But anyway, how do you, Mark Asher, feel about the Suns almost being proud of having the first pick? Almost like gloating about history being made. We have the first overall pick.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that like should be celebrated.
Well,
in
listen.
This city, we have not seen a playoff game since 2010 inside U.S. Airways / Talking Stick Resort Arena, whatever they call it now.
Right.
And it's just a bit unnerving for someone like myself, a native like you, who has been through the highs and lows, and honestly, mostly highs of the Suns growing up. And to see what has happened, I during the NBA Finals, I saw the commercial, and I was just like, oh my gosh. Someone in their marketing department said, let's put together a commercial essentially touting the fact that we sucked so bad last year we got the number one pick.
But here's the deal. If you're going to suck that bad, what's the payoff?
I guess.
And they got the payoff when they were awarded the number one pick in the draft. That was the payoff.
But this wasn't a fluke bad year. I mean, this team has been
really bad for the last
7 or 8
years. They tanked. They tried to tank last year.
It didn't work.
And it didn't work because they got screwed in the lottery. But it doesn't matter because if you told me they had Markelle Fultz or Lonzo Ball, or
right.
Most of those guys didn't really pan. Who was the rookie of the year last year?
Yeah,
it was
not
the
yet.
Kid from Utah, Donovan Mitchell. And they could have taken him at 4 if they wanted.
Sure.
They didn't. They took Josh Jackson,
who I think is going to be a good player.
I think he's going to be a good player. I don't think he's a star.
I don't think so either.
I think he's a nice role player.
A starter. Double-digit scorer. I don't think he's ever going to be an elite talent.
Poor man Sean Marion.
It's a good analogy.
Okay? So, with that being said, I get what you're saying.
That didn't piss you off, though, at all when you saw those commercials? History being made. What? Do you remember do you remember
history.
7 seconds or less? Do you remember
I do.
What an event?
That's why I haven't watched a full Suns basketball game in years.
Remember in another life when you and I used to go watch the Suns and the Kings on a Wednesday and it was like the biggest
it was
thing
the place
going?
To be.
Of course. Of course
I remember back in the 90s paying to watch the Phoenix Suns.
Wow, yeah.
On pay-per-view.
Yep.
One of Jerry's not-so-bright ideas. But we would get together. We'd go to one person would get it, and we'd all chip in and go to their house, and we'd usually watch it in the backyard, like on a patio. You know, they bring out a TV or whatever. And
isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm a diehard. So, yes, it's history. For the first time, they got it. I'm shocked they got it. I figured there was a way somehow they'd get screwed and end up with the third or fourth pick. And now you got it. Don't mess around. I'm so sick of hearing about, well, we're not sure. We're thinking about trading the number one pick.
Totally.
We
agree.
Like this guy. We like that guy. Dude, there is one guy that deserves to be the number one pick in this draft, and it's DeAndre Ayton. He is 7 foot plus. He's chiseled. He reminds me of Hakeem Olajuwon without the defense. But in the NBA, I think his defense will be better. He blocked a lot of shots last year at U of A. Guess where those shots were? Like jumpers, because they would have him guarding guards and small forwards because they had the other stiff that was down there. What's his name? Stiff.
Yeah,
whatever.
I know who you're talking about.
Stiffolitis, whatever his name was. The guy clogging up the middle. Now you're telling me DeAndre Ayton is going to play and his other 7-footer that might play with him is like a shooter, like a Dragan Bender type?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. I think his blocks will go up. I think when he compares himself to Shaquille O'Neal with a 3-pointer, I get excited about that. That he didn't do that, but his agent said
he's been playing basketball for 5 years. Just think about that, Mark.
He's unreal.
DeAndre Ayton has been playing basketball for 5.5 years.
I haven't even scratched the surface.
Not even close.
This guy could be. And so, with that being said, they just need to take him and be done. Here's where Ryan McDonough should be working. Instead of trying to work on this smokescreen that you're throwing up. Oh, we're not going to take him. Look over here. See the squirrel? No. Here's what you should start doing, Ryan McDonough. Working on all those assets you've obtained. You're following in the footsteps of your boy Danny Ainge, right? You're a young GM. You've really done nothing in this league, okay? Now you have an opportunity to do something. Put your name on it. Make a name for yourself. And do what Danny Ainge does. Danny Ainge stockpiles all these assets all the time, right? Assets, assets, assets. What do assets get you? The ability to go get someone else. Because teams will trade for those assets, those prospects. The idea, the prospect of bringing in a new, fresh, maybe possible superstar. Because you never know when you might get the next Donovan Mitchell, right? You never know when you might get a guy that just hits it out of the ballpark. And so my thinking is they've got Miami's future pick. Who else? So they have Washington's future, or did they get that this year? They have one of the picks they get,
and Miami?
It's Miami and Milwaukee.
I believe so.
Yes, that's right. So they have two future firsts. They have their own future first-round pick, which, given the history of the last 8 years, probably pretty appealing to another GM out there in the league.
And Jason Tatum was a pretty good player for the Celtics last year.
Yeah.
And Ainge traded down.
To get him. Ainge is a genius.
Yeah, that was a
and
good,
McDonough
that was
is Ainge's boy. And you should call Danny and say, what would you do with this pick? And not DeAndre Ayton. I'm saying with pick number, what do they have, 16-y?
16, yep.
So you have 16 this year in a pretty deep draft. You have the opportunity with maybe another future pick or even a player to go and make some noise. And I think that this is the year that you could actually do that and the fans would be on board. You say you need a point guard, right? You love Luka Doncic, right? Make the move. Go get him. If you really want him, you hired Kokoskov, who was his coach. He obviously wants to play for Kokoskov. Get up to number four and get him. Because I don't think Sacramento and Atlanta are touching Doncic. Because I don't think he wants to play there. And they're like, screw it. We're not going to go there. We'll take Bagley, who I think is going to be a very good NBA player. We'll take a chance on Mamba, who everyone's like, oh, my God, this guy could be the number one pick. He's so athletic, and he's kind of learning as he goes. You got Jackson, right? That guy's going to be good. You got Porter in the mix, which I'm not really sure where he falls. And then you've got all these point guards. Well, I say all these point guards. There's a few. You got Doncic. You've got Colin Sexton from Alabama. And what's the kid from Oklahoma? Trae Young. I'm not in love with Trae Young. Everyone's like, oh, he's the next Steph Curry. Maybe. Like, teams figured out. His team wasn't very good, Oklahoma. And Curry's team was really good, Davidson, right? I mean, they went on a nice run. What did they get, Sweet 16 that year?
So.
Or Elite Eight?
So.
Like, they went on a nice run. And it was all because of Curry. Trae Young couldn't do that in Oklahoma. They barely got into the tournament. And then I think only played that one game, and then we're done. My point is, find out what it takes. Moving up in the NBA draft is not as expensive as moving up in the NFL draft. I mean, minus the Arizona Cardinals, who stole the opportunity to go up to take Josh Rosen. But other teams, the Jets paid a boatload. Buffalo paid a lot to get up there. Usually it's really expensive. You have to like almost mortgage the future to move up in the NFL draft. I don't feel like that's the case in the NBA draft. So if you can go and make a move, maybe it's with Atlanta. Maybe you go to three. Find out what it would cost. Now, if you find out it's too much because they want Josh Jackson and the number one and this number one, you're like, okay, never mind. We're not doing that. Fine. But see, test the waters, as they say, if you're Ryan McDonough, and see if you can't make a move to go up and get another player. And now you have your nucleus of four players. Jackson, Ayton, obviously Booker, your star, and then whatever point guard you go get. Now we're talking.
I tweeted this over the weekend. You would think that DeAndre Ayton, Trae Young package impact deal would have a little bit more significance than the Dragan Bender, Marquise Chris package draft deal that happened a few years ago, don't you think? Don't you think people would be a little bit more excited if the Suns added those two guys?
Yes.
Okay. I just
without a doubt. And look, and I liked when they went and got Chris.
And you talked about Ryan McDonough. I think Ryan McDonough's best trade was the first one he ever made, getting Eric Bledsoe, and he drafted Devin Booker, and he's made some nice picks. I think Josh Jackson's fine. He's a good player.
Yeah. No, I shouldn't. And I'm not ripping McDonough. McDonough's been fine. I'm fine with Ryan McDonough. Maybe I made it sound like you haven't done anything, but.
But, I mean, Isaiah Thomas, that whole situation was not
horrible.
Good. Goran Dragic, that whole situation was mishandled.
Brandon Knight. Who's still on this team, by the way. And you've got to find a way to get Brandon Knight involved in this team next year. You have to. Because no one's taking him.
That's exactly right.
He can still score.
He can. No one wants him.
Bring him off the bench.
So you might as well use him.
Let him score. Like, you need it. He needs to play next year, assuming he's healthy. Anyway, that's it. We got what? We got one more segment, E? Okay, so we have one more segment that we're going to go over. I'm going to talk a little D-backs. I'm going to bring up probably something that's not very popular with D-back fans, but I'll tell you why I say it when I say it coming up. And then we will talk about the Triple Crown. We'll have a simulated race between Secretariat and Justify. You're going to have to close your eyes and picture this one, and we'll tell you how it comes out. That's coming up. This is the Brad Sesmatt Show on Sports360AZ.com and AZCentralSports.com. All right, welcome back to the Brad Sesmatt Show here on a Monday. I am Mark Asher. I am gladly filling in for Bradley as he will be gone all week long. We'll have a plethora of guest hosts here on the Brad Sesmatt Show on Sports360AZ and AZ Central Sports. All right, final segment of the show. We've talked LeBron. We've talked Suns. We've talked a lot. We're going to get to some D-backs in just a minute. But before, because I don't want to run out of time, because I think this is such a great stat, we saw history occur this past weekend. Another Triple Crown winner. Justify with the win at the Belmont Stakes. And, of course, the Belmont, the longest, the mile and a half, the longest, and some say the most difficult to win. And by the way, props to Mike Smith, the jockey. He's like 52 years old, by the way. He doesn't look it. 52 years old. Do you know he's already in the Hall of Fame? Do you know that, E?
No, I did not. Yeah. I mean, I leave this stuff up to you, Mark.
Of course. But
I watch like two races a
year. He's already in the Hall of Fame. The best is when they interview him, you know, on the horse, you know, as they're walking back.
That's kind of cool.
Doing the victory lap. And she says, hey, you're already in the Hall of Fame, but you said you didn't feel like you belong. And do you feel like you belong now? And he kind of was joking. He goes, yes, I feel like I belong now. Because he won the Triple Crown. You know, that's unreal for a jockey and the horse. And so Justify wins. There's a little bit of drama with the other horse that was owned by Bob Baffert. Bob Baffert, an Arizona guy, right, by the way. So good Tucson, U of A guy. Bob Baffert was the trainer for two horses in this race. And I swear, before, I did not know he had a second horse, which was a long shot, in this race. And before the race even started, I said, well, that doesn't seem right. Like, you shouldn't have two horses. I mean, there's got to be enough horses in the world that you can have one trainer, because you would think there'd be a little bit of a conflict of interest. And lo and behold, I don't remember the horse's name, whatever it was. Blocking Fullback is what we'll call the horse. And that Blocking Fullback races out on the right away from the break and gets right behind Justify. And all the other riders are saying they were blocking. The horse ended up finishing eighth. By that time, Justify had it all wrapped up and became the 13th horse to win the Triple Crown. Baffert, the second trainer to have multiple Triple Crown winners, which doesn't happen very often, obviously. So it's pretty unique, you know, category and pretty unique company that everyone joined there. So now Justify, I think, is going to race one more time, and then we'll go get paid like a lot of money to breed, which is great. But the thing that everyone keeps bringing up is the size of Justify, and the horses these days are so much bigger and stronger, just like the NBA, just like the NFL, just like all the other sports. Here's the difference. Take Bob Cousy and put him in the league now. He doesn't play. He makes Matthew Dellavedova look like an all-star, right? Take George Mikan. He'd get pushed around like there's no tomorrow by Shaquille and all these other big men, you know, if they would have played in the same era. So there is a difference there. When it comes to horse racing, there's not. By time, Secretariat in the Belmont Stakes, when it went on to win the Triple Crown, and Justify. Do you see the picture up on the screen right now? That's exactly how it would have looked again.
That's crazy.
Because Secretariat by time would have won Saturday's Triple Crown race over Justify by 25 lengths.
That's quite a bit.
Secretariat is the best horse ever. Everyone else is playing for second. But the good news is, you know, they always do the LeBron and Michael comparison. Well, not so much in horse racing. And D-backs get the sweep. I was trying to see real quick, pull up exactly how many games up they are in the NOS. Two and a half.
Two and a half, yep.
Two and a half over the Dodgers. Two and a half over the Giants. Now 3.5 over Colorado as they just swept them. And then 5.5 over San Diego. Remember, this team was leading the Dodgers by 1 point by 9 games. So, obviously, the Dodgers have gotten their stuff together a little bit, and D-backs faltered. This is going to be a fun run to the end. You know, I kind of feel like only one team from the NL West. Unlike last year where three got in the postseason. I think only one's getting in this year. Maybe two. Maybe. We'll see how they end up playing. And Paul Goldschmidt, I don't know what he's batting now, but he was abysmal for the first couple months of the season. He's finally got it together. But I said I was going to say something that probably most Diamondbacks fans wouldn't like. And what I was going to say is, I'm not signing Paul Goldschmidt to a long-term contract. Probably not very popular because he's been such a popular Diamondback player. There's something inside me that says, you've gotten everything you need out of Paul Goldschmidt, and anything else would be the payoff at the end, the Danny Manning payoff, right? Remember when Danny Manning came here? Colangelo promised him this big deal if he played on a little, and they tore up his knee and they still gave him the money, and Danny Manning was never the same. I feel like it'd be somewhat like that. You've gotten bargain basement on Paul Goldschmidt. In today's dollars, bargain basement. You do not owe Paul Goldschmidt anything. Now, if you feel like he's still got a lot of baseball left in him, fine. You're the exec. You're the expert. I'm just a talk guy that does it once a year. Maybe twice.
Each. And Goldie's saying 254 now with 12 home runs and 31 RBIs.
254. And it's taken like a 380 clip to get back up to 254.
Yeah.
So I just feel like Goldie's best days are behind him. I if you're doing a curve, Goldie's here. Oh, you just took it out. But here. And I don't, and it might plateau for a few more, and then it's going to come crashing down. We'll see. But let's see if the Diamondbacks can keep this summer interesting and fun. Today has been interesting and fun, and I appreciate the opportunity to sit in front of you and chat for an hour and talk a little bit about everything going on in sports. It's fun to do. It's exciting. E, I want to thank you very much for having me. As you can see right there, you can follow me. I am still on Twitter, although I don't tweet quite as much as I used to. But I'll tweet some stuff every once in a while when I'm watching games and stuff like that. At MarkAsher32, you can follow me, Mark Asher, on Facebook. And those are the only two social media sites besides LinkedIn, because I'm a businessman, E, now, so we got to do LinkedIn. And, of course, my real business is I'm one of the owners of Southwest Wealth Strategies, a wealth management firm in Scottsdale, Arizona. It has been an absolute pleasure visiting with you for an hour. I hope you enjoyed it. Tomorrow, Jeff Munn is in for the big guy, Brad Sassman. I want to thank Brad for allowing me to come in and gab for an hour. It's been a lot of fun, and I want to thank the guys behind the glass for making it super-duper easy. E, I told you we don't need a guest. We don't need guests on this. This is fun.
It's your show.
Let's just talk. So that's been it. I hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't, send all messages to Eric Sorensen, not me, because I don't care. The Brad Sassman Show on Sports360AZ.com and AZCentralSports.com. Have yourself a great week, and I'll see you somewhere down the road.